pushing your shit in since 2005. It's the Corey and Joel Radio Show.
Hey, people, welcome back to the Corey and Joel Radio Show. It's Joel Fragamenti, your co-host, your radio pal, your podcasting friend.
Hey, now.
Corey Hall is here with me as well, as always.
Yes, I'm your spirit guide into the world of comedy.
Corey Hall is...
I'm your spirit animal. I'm like a grizzly bear that will guide you on your path.
Corey's been here for 163 straight shows.
Good God.
You haven't missed one yet.
No.
Neither have I.
We haven't had guest hosts.
Should we do that like Johnny used to do, guest hosts? Yeah. You know?
Who would we have guest host?
Well, Letterman has Tom Dreesen, so he'd be good for us.
Oh, so we need is someone who's not up to our caliber.
Right, guys who just aren't, and like, we would have Ferg.
I'm going to call Tim Walsh. Hold on.
There you go. Yeah.
Ferg.
Yeah. You know, guys who just don't have no, you know, ability to do this.
We're trying to grow our listener base, for guys.
I know. Yeah, I don't know who would fill in.
You know what would be good, though? If we let Ferg air guest host, we'd have like 40,000 votes on podcast.
Because the guy from Air Fergus is so old shit that we talk about. But this is a band called Vampire Weekend that you might
By the
heard.
Way, yeah.
They're going to be on SNL this week with Amy Adams.
They're the new buzz band of the moment. They sing songs about Cape Cod, and they wear like little boat shoes and like
eyes. This is very easy sort of pop music. This is like Clap Your Hands, Say Yeah was the buzz band 2 years ago. And
sure.
Now it's these guys. Good luck to him. That's Vampire Weekend. The album is self-titled. You can go get that at your local retailer.
A lot of bantering about in the press about these guys. And
you know what? Everybody that comes out, there's always a backlash.
Yeah,
I don't know that these guys are really any good, but they're okay. They're not terrible.
It's fun and poppy. I think it sounds kind of like the Specials are kind of like happy.
It's got a little ska.
It's nearly ska, although there's like some African drum shit that people are all like, Every hack critic's like, it sounds like Graceland.
Oh, well.
Like, stop. Get out of here.
Whatever. Fine. Who gives a shit? Either listen to it or don't. Who cares what it sounds
Stylistically,
like?
Stylistically, though, they're very preppy. They're wearing like, you know, Ralph Lauren collection.
So
very
do we.
Preppy stuff. Oh, yes,
oh,
that's
no,
true.
We don't.
So anyway. I think their look is more of an issue.
I think you're right about that. Anyway, so today on today's show, let me run down a little agenda here. Keep people interested in the show because we have no guests. It's you and I.
Right.
And, you know, sometimes it's sad when it's just you and I. Not sad, but some people...
No, sometimes it's tragic. It's occasionally depressing.
Well, I will tease this for after the break. We have a way where it will no longer be just Corey and I on any given week.
Okay.
Who will be sitting in with us? Well, it will be...
Who will the mystery guest be?
Well, the mystery guest will be...
Harry Berberian.
No, the mystery guest will
be... What about that for a guest host?
Yeah, it will be Harry Berberian and Tim Walsh.
The Harry Berberian.
How about Harry Berberian with Hortense, the hand puppet of low self-esteem, and HIV Fonzarelli?
Okay, and plus Penny. I actually want to hear that show.
Okay, well, we'll
let's
book that.
Make that
we'll
happen.
That.
Let's make that happen.
But coming up, I will tell you a way that it will no longer be Corey and I. We will hear new, fresh voices on this show, and we'll tell you how that's going to happen after the break.
That's right. We're going interactive.
Are we?
Been on the internet for 3 years. We're finally going marginally interactive.
That's right, folks. We're going to open up our email address for the first time coming up.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, you think our email address hasn't been open.
What's an email, Joel?
Well, it's a way. See, what happens is when you dial in with your modem. Now, this show can be
We got some random email from a chick.
Do you even know that chick?
Well, there's possibilities of who it could be.
No, it's not who the girl that's been on our show. It's not her.
Well, but
it's not her. I know it's not her.
She gave her name as Amy P.
Yeah, but it's not her because I checked the email.
And we've had two Amy P's.
Oh, I know what you're saying. Yeah, there's an Amy.
We've had two Amy P's.
There's a girl
on the
named
show.
Amy P, and then there's that. And then Amy Phillips, who is a comedian.
Sure.
It's not Amy Phillips, I can guarantee you that. And okay. I don't think it's the other Amy P either because she would have called you or
something. So who? Yeah, right. So who the other? Yeah.
Who is Amy P?
In fact, I talked to the other Amy P recently.
Who be Amy P?
I don't know.
And by the way, the only person that is allowed to co-host for me, there's only one man that can fill this big seat. mm-hmm. and that's Chill.
Wow.
So from this point forward.
That's right. Chill Thomas.
Chill and Mike Lundy will be the guest host when yes. we ultimately do that.
So. I like that.
You like that?
A little urban flavor.
But, yeah. So I just want everybody to know that.
You know, the new theme music's going to be Soulja Boy, Superman Not Ho!
Yeah, this is a mixtape we got down at the barbershop.
Yeah.
So if you all
Mike,
want this.
Mike would probably be like, man, Soulja Boy's played out. yeah. That's some bullshit. That's played out, man. I ain't about to have that. He'd pull out some rap you'd never heard of.
I saw Chill. Chill came to Club Bart the other night and did a set. And
yeah,
wow, he's quite a talent. He's,
who's hip? I think Mike is slightly hipper. I don't know if I can. I think,
yeah,
I think Chill likes his cool mode.
Chill is like the guy.
He likes to listen.
Chill is like your transition Negro. He's the guy that he's like
what?
He's the Negro ambassador. He reaches out to the suburbs.
This goes back all the way.
No,
to
this
the Civil
doesn't.
War,
this doesn't go back
when
to
during the slave trading.
He's,
the big the owner. The
now,
slave
who's being
owner
racist
would,
now when
would,
you're playing
would,
that?
Would breed his big black to his big woman.
Well, that's so I'm just yeah. trying to explain what
no, but
Chill's
he's
rolling.
The ambassador Negro. We all had these in high school. He's the guy that like he used to live in the city and then his. He moved out to the burbs.
The ambassador.
And now, right, he introduces.
Now, is this how does this relate to the weather Negro?
He introduces, it's no relation. He introduces white people
yeah.
to black culture. And right. you get that, too. So you don't get the full package. You get a sanitized version of it. He's an ambassador.
He's the black friend.
Yeah.
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 I just said
whereas
it
whereas Mike's a little more legitimately straight.
Yeah, Mike's been in a knife fight or two, or he's seen one at least, you know?
Chill's the one who's seen a dog fight.
That's true, too. I don't
Chill's
know.
Chill's pretty ghetto.
But Chill says he has two movies that he's working on.
Right.
So
about a dollar a piece.
No, he has to get those back to Blockbuster as soon as he's done with them. No, I'm kidding. No, he's working on two movies.
By the way, that does remind me of a legitimate project that I will make a big announcement later.
You have
on
an
the
announcement
show.
Later?
Yeah.
Okay, whatever.
We will announce that later on the show.
And we have our announcement about our show, and then
yeah.
we have...
I'm just trying to pepper the second half with interest.
All right. Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a nap for 35 minutes, and when we come back...
Big announcements!
No. Actually, we have to talk about... maybe we'll get to some movie reviews if we have time for those. I know you've been seeing movies lately, and they all suck, so we'll get to those.
Oh, God.
Those are really the most fun ones.
There will be some bad movie reviews coming up.
And then we'll talk... I think we'll probably spend most of the first half here talking about... a little show that I think, and I said this, I think, on the forum. We had a little bit of discussion. If you haven't been on
sure.
our forum, go over to CoreyandJoelRadio.com, click on the forum mm-hmm. right there in the top, and it'll take you there. But we're discussing the new Big Brother.
Right.
Big Brother 9. We've been fans of Big Brother throughout the years. I've watched every Big Brother mm-hmm. since the beginning.
Yeah.
Corey has not, but he's been watching them recently, and he's been digging them.
I've been on and off with them. Yeah, in and out.
But this year, speaking of in and out, has been a tremendous season. I mean, but although it's also tremendous, we have to add this little asterisk to the end of it. It's only really great if you're watching the Big Brother After Dark on Showtime 2.
Yeah, I don't know how this works in other countries. I know that the Big Brother is in several different, it's in several European
countries.
It's
like everywhere, yeah.
Is that a German Big Brother?
I'm sure there's a German.
Well, there is a German Big Brother.
Yes.
Yeah, it's called the Stasi. And they will watch you at all times. Now, the country's been free since 89, I'm
sure. Sure, it's since 89. Long history of freedom.
Yeah, Germany has an unvarnished history of free democracy, going back all the way to 1989.
Yeah, like I've got a Nintendo
system. I am from West Germany. I was not an East German.
I've got a Nintendo system that still works that's older than the freedom in Germany.
Shit, I got T-shirts.
Exactly.
I bought T-shirts that you couldn't have bought in East Germany.
I've got CDs that predate the freedom in Germany.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. You know the German people are great when they break through the wall,
mm-hmm.
and the first thing they all do is buy up every Scorpions album.
Right.
You know that you're living in a great...
They broke down the wall for the power of Hasselhoff.
You know
that's
a
what
great
it was.
Place. You know that Germany is a proud country. Although, who knows what would happen in America? You know what I mean? Like, we would...
That Hasselhoff, like, standing on the Brandenburg Gate with that, like, scarf. Remember he had, like, the...
He had a scarf in a sequin.
It was, like, a piano keys.
Yeah,
it was like a
yeah.
scarf. God, that's magic.
But you know what? Should you really... Because it's funny.
Hoff.
I think that got to him eventually.
Yeah.
The whole, like, the criticism of him and all that stuff.
That doesn't seem to have bothered him at all.
No, because he's drinking, he's eating a hamburger off the floor on YouTube and all that stuff.
I think it was Baywatch Nights. I think that's what put him over the edge.
But there's a guy who I should have nothing to complain about except for everybody in the world thinks he's a douchebag. That's his only problem he has in life is that people think he's a douche.
I'll tell you what. I don't want
to. He's got $1 billion.
Right. I don't want to get off on a Hoff digression.
I don't either. We got to talk about Big Brother.
We could spend all day on the
you
Hoff.
You started this, Brandon.
But I will say one thing about this.
Okay.
The Hoff's been on my mind because NBC trotted back a pathetic attempt to do Knight Rider again.
All right.
And this movie stunk to high heaven.
Yeah.
Stunk in the worst possible way. And I encourage you right now, but Hoff, the Hoff makes a cameo in it.
Oh, does he? Okay, yeah.
He shows up at the end.
They got a new guy to be Jason Knight. Huh?
They got a new...
Is it Jason Knight? Was that his name?
It was Michael Knight.
Okay, Jason Knight was a pro wrestler.
Yeah, and right. And this guy is supposed to be his son, I guess.
Oh, really?
And boy, oh boy.
Yeah, okay. What are you doing?
I don't know.
What are you doing?
Fuck you. I'm just trying to fucking help you. Do you
that's what I'm just saying to the makers of Knight Rider.
What is that clip anyway? I don't even know.
That was David O. Russell.
Okay, the David O. Russell.
But it was so bad, that Knight Rider. This guy is the worst actor you'll ever see. And the voice of Kit was done by Val Kilmer.
Okay, well, that's not good.
But if you want some Hoff discussion, Ain't It Cool had like people were live blogging the Knight Rider when it was on.
Oh, God.
And it's actually kind
of
funny.
But did anyone ever, first of all, did
no
anyone
one thought
think,
that would be good.
No one thought the original show was good, and there was no reason to think that this would be good. Like, I even got
this was transcendently
like
awful.
I got the camp even of stuff like A-Team.
Right.
But Knight Rider never struck me as being good. I don't know. It just never.
I kind of, I liked it when I was a kid.
Like, I understood Dukes of Hazzard and why people liked that and why people liked A-Team and why people liked some of these 80s.
Sure.
The Fall Guy and some of these genre shows that were on,
mm-hmm.
these hour-long action shows, Chips, I used to watch.
Right.
That was the one that I was just like, I never got Knight Rider.
I liked it when I was a kid, but I probably liked Magnum more.
Magnum P.I.?
I probably actually as a kid enjoyed that more than I actually did Knight Rider.
All right.
But, Knight Rider did have, hey, come on, he had an LED in the front of his car. Come on, remember? We were captivated by that shit.
You know what? I really
bleep,
was.
Bleep,
I
one light
I
going.
Wasn't into, I wish. I you know what? It's the one of the few shows that I didn't care about
really?
Then. Didn't like it then, and I don't like it now. And
I was a big fan of The Highwayman that lasted about 4 episodes.
Yeah, I never saw
like,
that.
You know what? Not only Knight Rider. It was all talking car and helicopter shows.
Well, there was that, yeah.
Airwolf, I was huge into.
Okay, Airwolf.
Loved Airwolf.
I never watched Airwolf either.
Big Airwolf fan.
Okay.
Yeah. And then it was Blue Thunder had a show for a little while.
All right, can we talk about Big Brother?
Fine.
I didn't see the Big Brother, the new Knight Rider.
Okay.
I'm sure it sucked.
Go on, Ain't It Cool?
Okay.
Look in the talkbacks for the live blogging of Knight Rider, and you'll hear sound of horrible television.
Okay, Knight Rider.
Now speaking of horrible television, how about that Big Brother?
Well, Big Brother's great, and here's why it's great. You have to watch the After Dark because we're talking about the international versions. We've always been, this is the thing that I was very proud of this Big Brother cast this year, because the United States has lagged behind horribly in reality show nudity.
Yes.
In fact, we don't really have
it's
any.
It's tragic.
There's really none because it's all on network television, and you can't show anything on network television.
We pioneered the damn format.
Well, reality TV, yeah, with stuff like Real World and that was sort of a precursor.
Real World is, to me, the modern, look, there was always stuff like Candid Camera.
Yeah.
There was always stuff where...
Well, like stuff like Phil Donahue was technically a reality show because
right.
people coming on talking about their real lives, but...
And then they've always done documentaries about
right.
people. The BBC has actually done documentaries a lot.
Right.
And I know the first one, what was that? What was the was it the Proud Family? What was the...
I don't even remember.
American Life. It was in the 70s.
Oh, okay.
PBS did it.
Oh,
thing.
Yeah. There was a thing about
And then
family.
Albert Brooks made a movie spoof of it.
Yeah.
That was maybe the first real reality show.
Okay, but
But Real World kind of locked in the format of putting people in a house.
Diverse
and
characters
in
a house and throwing them into weird situations. And
there was nudity on that in the original one, and they never unbleeped it.
They always show it censored, and that's the problem. Because
for 15 goddamn years, I wanted to see Becky and Julie from season one of The Real World in Jamaica with their tops off.
Oh, look, go down to Danny's Irish Pub and, buy him a pint, and I think you'll get that now.
That's true.
Those old hags now. But here's my point. You got this Big Brother, and I've seen the... When I was in England in 2000... Mm-hmm. What year was it in England? It was in 2000 or something like that?
Sure.
I saw Big Brother England, and they would show the girls taking showers. They didn't, show you a whole 10 minutes of them taking a shower, but if somebody was in the shower, they would put the camera on it, and these shows were pre-taped. They weren't live, And they would show you the girl in the shower, and you'd see her tits, and then they'd move on to the next thing, and that was it. They didn't really harp on the nudity, but it was there. It was part of what happened, and so they showed it, and the contestants knew it was going to be shown.
Sure.
And that was it.
That's because England is a mature country.
I guess.
They go back. They've had democracy since 1215.
Well,
basically.
Okay. But in America, it's like we got to – and it's like they tell the contestants, look, if you get naked, we can't show it on TV. So, and then they still decide not to get naked because they've got – they've got the internet feed that is 24/7, even though it's a lot harder to see stuff on there. It's a smaller window. It's not as good as a TV. But then the innovation really was Big Brother After Dark on Showtime. 3 hours of Big Brother uncensored.
Now, I wonder
live from the house,
how they do this in other countries.
From midnight to 3 a.m.
That's what I was asking.
I believe they're pre-taped shows, and I think if they evict somebody, it's live. I think that's the deal.
Right. So they don't have this...
They have internet feeds in the other countries, but I don't think anyone does a live show feed. I could be wrong about that.
You know what? Nobody has cable like we do.
Yeah, there is some, you know, satellite and stuff in Europe, but it's not as big as it is here. No one has the, you know, we have the pure bandwidth to just put, you know, people sitting in a hot tub for 3 hours
and,
on.
And in fact, we're dumping analog television just to get more.
We need more shit.
We need more signals.
Yeah. We don't have actually. You know why they're getting rid of the analog? It's actually not for more channels.
Well, they're auctioning off the band.
They're raising money essentially. They're selling it to wireless providers in order to make money essentially. So anyway, Big Brother though has been terrific. They had it last year with the After Dark. We never really saw. We saw one girl naked who was ugly,
hideous,
Amber,
unspeakable.
Yeah, and she was not cool. This one they did a great thing. They put all single people in there. 16 singles, I think. Was it 16 or 20? Well, 16, I think.
What happens? They finally figured out their casting. It took them 9 seasons to finally figure this out, and they finally got the casting right.
The singles?
Yeah.
Okay,
they finally got shameless whores.
Well, I'm getting to that, but they got single people, because that already is good, because it takes down the inhibition of my wife's at home watching.
Well,
my husband's at home watching. My kids are at home watching.
Generally, there's mostly single people on Big Brother, but there's always a couple people with kids and families, and so
there's people with girlfriends on the outside. And this time, you got all single people, which is great. Except for they did a couple stunts where they had the couple that was supposed to stay secret together. Of course, they didn't because they're assholes.
Right.
And of course, the one girl's sitting, you know, on the fucking curb.
Well,
right
they brought
now,
in like an ex. Yeah, the one girl.
Which is a gimmick they did a few years ago.
And that didn't last.
They had two people who used to date, and they threw them together.
That guy was the first to go.
Yeah, and then they partner everybody up, where everybody's got to have a partner. Like their life, their, what do they call it?
Their soulmate.
Their soulmate. Like if you fucking
just
believe
like you, Joel.
Like they believe in that shit.
Like you and I, Joel.
Like you and I, fuck you.
When we look deep into each other's eyes.
All right. Can you shut the fuck up, please? Let me finish. Okay. Thank you, soulmate. No, I'm kidding.
That's
our soulmate.
How much time do we have left on the show?
No, I'm kidding. Why?
Well, I think you just want to vent your feelings about Big Brother.
I do.
The next
No. I'm going to quickly get through this. Just summarize, and then you just tag on this. So they get these single people, and it's great. They pair them up, and then, of course, immediately some of the chicks start to fall in love with the guys. The guys and the girls start making out at night. One girl's blowing the guy under the sheets. Tremendous stuff goes on. And then the greatest night, in my opinion, in television. Okay, these are the greatest things I've ever seen on television live in my history. Okay. The Tigers won the World Series in 84 against the San Diego Padres. Tremendous. I was there watching it live when it happened. That's number one. Number two was when they did the stripper night on Big Brother 9 After Dark. That was the bet. That's the number two TV highlight of all time for me.
Sure.
I'm trying to think what would be better than that, but I can't even think of it.
Michael Jackson doing the moonwalk?
No. Maybe Mike Tyson getting his ears bitten off. I saw that.
That was terrific.
By Evander Holyfield.
Yeah, that was good.
We had a party at some guy's house for that.
At my house.
No, that was a different fight. We watched Lennox Lewis, Mike Tyson.
Oh, was that Lennox Lewis, Mike Tyson?
Yes, when Lennox Lewis knocked out Tyson. I'm talking about when Mike Tyson got his ears
bitten off. Oh, okay.
By Evander Holyfield.
I'm sorry, I had the wrong Tyson fight.
Yeah, it was the wrong Tyson fight. That was also but he had already been knocked out by that time, you know.
That was a good,
The Holyfield biting his ear, getting his ears bitten off, I saw live. That was great. But this was right up there. They did a whole thing. They made fake money. So two of the girls and the one gay guy. Although we have to put an asterisk next to one, the number one in the gay guy column.
There's there's a
you can talk about
the
this.
People the casting is what I'm saying. The people they finally put people on here who just really are shameless self-absorbed whores. And not that everybody who isn't on Big Brother isn't that already.
Yeah.
These people are more. They picked girls without daddies. They finally got it right. They got girls who like got their dads blew their own brains
See,
out.
See, my theory is
that's
this.
A way to go.
This is my theory. I think this show's been on for 9 seasons.
Yeah.
I think 9 years ago they grabbed some girls somewhere from like a, you know,
right.
a Catholic school girl for runaways, you know, something like that.
Well,
and they found these chicks and they've been raising them somewhere, you know, like on a farm.
Really?
Just for this day, yeah. To unleash them live on Big Brother. That's what they should
do. Remember,
anyway.
Remember the very first Big Brother in America?
Yes, it was horrible.
They let the audience vote on who got to Stan Lee. And the first thing the audience did was vote out the stripper.
Yeah, they did. No, yeah. They actually voted out the Black Panther guy first, I think.
Oh, okay.
It was one of the other. They went one and two.
But the stripper went real quick.
The stripper went real quick. And deservedly so on that season.
But I'm just saying.
Right.
You would never do that on a show that producers had control of.
Yeah, you know, the producers really do need control of reality shows because it's the only way they'll keep them interesting, usually.
Yeah.
But anyway, this year they do have an ex-stripper who's we got to see who decided to do a strip show.
Well, yeah. She's currently working in a coffee. She's a bikini barista. First of all, how horny do you have to be that you're like, shit, I got to get a mocha latte and see some tits?
Yeah.
How horny do you have to be?
Somebody
this is in Oregon somewhere. So.
Somebody's that horny for that idea to work.
I guess so.
But I think she's at like a drive. It's like a photo mat or something.
Yeah, it's like a drive thru.
It's not even like a real restaurant
and
where
the girl,
you go in and
first
hang
of all,
out.
Portland is rainy and kind of cold.
Well,
so how are you hanging out in a bikini?
She's hanging out.
Oh boy,
she really is hanging out. But anyway, so this chick's on there, and she's like, they decided to do a strip.
Natalie.
Show. Natalie. So she ropes in this 21-year-old college student.
Uh-huh.
Named Chelsea, yeah. Who you can see has a little bit of a wild side. She's got some tattoos. She's got a piercing, you know,
sure.
in her lip and mm-hmm. whatever. But she's pretty innocent, I think. I don't know that she's, you know.
Well, she was the first couple
she
days.
She was for a little bit.
Yeah. That's all gone now.
And the two of them went out there and stripped for this fake money that they made out of napkins.
Yeah, the gay guy incited everything.
He really did.
We should put on a show.
Yeah.
Because that's one thing you can count on for gays is putting on a show.
Yeah, but you know what? Also, the impetus for that was
a good time show. Exactly. In the privacy of
and
your
it, it has home. Been, believe me. We spent 2 hours before the show watching Big Brother After Dark.
Sadly, we did, and I'm kind of sad with myself right now.
But the other great part was that, you know, these chicks they get naked.
Well, strip down and get relaxed.
They certainly. Every offensive drop in there. And these chicks, they start getting naked, and it's great because immediately the tops are off. They're riding.
Do I make you a little horny?
They're riding these guys' dicks. They're bopping up and down. It really turns into the strip club. It was amazing. The girls are making out with the guys. The girls are making out with the girls. Fucking tremendous.
It was amazing. It was.
Oh, but the impetus of it was, I just want to say this, is they had to do a 24 hours of bikinis.
Yes.
Based on the previous sure. week's Head of Household Challenge.
These right? guys are finally figuring out this show.
The 24 hours of bikinis was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They finally got this show right.
So they get 24 hours of bikinis and a fresh alcohol supply.
Right.
And all of a sudden.
You do the math at home.
It's stripper night in the Big Brother house.
Yeah.
These chicks are naked. Then they start getting, what would they get, whipped cream or something? And they're putting whipped cream
well,
on their
see,
nipples.
Well, see, Natalie's a professional.
Yeah.
And she knew what she was doing.
Right.
And her big fake boobies.
They are big and fake.
Sure. And she was on the floor with whipped cream on her, and people were licking it off.
It was so great.
They were like, it was great because they don't have any music in the house, so they were like playing a bongo.
They were like hitting, like I don't know what it would sound like.
Yeah, it was like a tribal drum.
Yeah,
thing.
It was like a drum
it was
circle.
Like a drum circle
tits. It was
titty great. Bar thing. And she put her crotch in everybody's face.
She was riding, guys. Was
and Chelsea
so
went nuts. And then, so it all goes in the hot tub, in the
right.
pool.
Yeah, so then they leave there and they decide somebody
sure.
wanted to jump in the pool.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, because I think they were washing the shit off their tits. I think that was the idea. You know, the whipped cream or whatever.
They were jumping in the
well,
pool.
They had something.
Because everybody had a half a boner.
Yeah, they wanted to. Yeah. So anyway, they all hop in the pool. Like almost, I think it was every guy in the house and every chick.
Only three people didn't go in the pool.
Yeah, three chicks didn't go in the pool, and they were cunts. And one of them we had to leave the house for that. So anyway, but this Chelsea is in there, and she's making out with these guys. Going, their guys are handing her around like a joint at a frat party.
They were handing
they're
all
handing
of them
her
around.
Just a bun yeah. from the other to the other. Then this girl Sharon, who is probably like kind of the nerdiest girl in a way, or she's. Kind of the most
she's
conservative.
The girl next door.
She's
the
kind of
plain
the girl,
Jane
the plain
girl.
Jane girl, who I think is hot, even though she's the plain Jane girl.
Yeah, to me, it doesn't work for me much, but I could look.
I like it.
I could see the point.
It's the cutest Applebee's waitress you'll ever have.
Sure.
That's kind of what this girl is, okay?
Well, maybe I've seen some cute girls at Applebee's.
She would be a good, you know, if you
I'll
got
tell you
that.
What, if you had her in a class in college, you might think about
it. Yeah,
sure.
Yeah. So she's in there, and she jumps in, and she wasn't even naked during the strip show. She was getting a couple lap dances. Sure. She immediately is making out with these guys, like hardcore, man.
Well, she
full tongues.
If you remember, she'd gotten voted out the first week.
Yeah, and she got
and
back
then,
in.
And then, for mysterious circumstances, the other gay in the house had to
leave. One of the gay guys had to leave for some reason.
So she got voted back in.
And, yeah, she got back in, and now she was the gay guy's partner, because they partnered everybody up. But she's making out with three different guys.
So she's living on borrowed time.
Two different chicks. Yeah. And this goes on. They're doing naked chicken fights. The guys put the girls on their shoulders.
Well, not only do
they're doing naked chicken fights. Oh.
See, not only do they cast shameless, attention-grabbing whores.
Yeah.
With no daddies. And that's how you do it, folks. They got the biggest Malacca dumbass guy.
They got a couple of
these
guys.
These guys are like, hey, you look good there in your bikinis.
So you would say, I'd say there's four guys who are knuckleheads on there. Would you agree with that?
There's,
I mean, let's forget about the one guy we never got to know.
The Avon?
Yeah. No, I'm talking about the guy we never got to know.
Yeah.
Sharon's boyfriend.
Sure.
We never really got to know that guy.
Four straight up knuckleheads and then a scammer.
Yeah. Then there's like kind of a gay punk rocker he's a punk rocker guy. Who actually secretly did gay porn. His name is James.
Well, he did gay for pay. I don't know.
He could be a fag.
If that now so
a guy
far,
blew him. We saw the video,
sure.
At least the preview of it.
Right.
We talked about that last
time. I've often argued that you're only as gay as the last guy who blew you.
Yeah.
That's what I often... That's
how gay does that make me?
No,
okay.
Not gay at all. Having an unbroken record of staunch heterosexuality...
Listen, I've gone 35 in 8 months of straight heterosexuality.
There you go.
I'm very proud of that.
Wow.
I have a chip for that.
Good. Yeah. Good times. Yeah.
That isn't even, yeah. I didn't even do gay stuff on the playground when I was a kid. I was really,
yeah.
I was really seriously looking up.
Yeah.
I got in trouble for looking up girls' skirts on the like in the fourth grade.
Did you?
Yeah, because they were sitting on the risers for choir.
Yeah.
And I went under there, and I
started. Good times.
Yeah, and they got so I was a horn dog back then.
You are a
pervert,
a freak. I know.
Goddamn,
you really are
the horniest man going. Right.
So
these chicks are naked chicken fighting on Big Brother. They're making out with the girls. They're making out with the guys. The goddamn greatest thing.
This is the most greatest moment of my life.
And you and I are sitting there like, because we hadn't even watched it the one night, and
here's the thing. And
we were watching it right after we recorded last week's show is when we watched it.
You've been an avid Big Brother watcher the whole time.
Yes.
There have been years where I've abstained,
yeah.
And you told me I got to watch Big Brother, and I've kind of gone, pfft. And it really blew for a while.
Well.
And the advent of this Showtime show.
The Showtime thing saves it, yeah.
Last year, they were promising you a lot on Showtime and didn't really deliver much.
Because they did cut away when people were in the shower and stuff last year.
Yeah.
So you had to pretty much be naked, open, like, in one of the bedrooms to get shown naked.
And
that really only happened once. This year it's happened a lot more.
People were very hostile to each other.
Yeah. Well, again, because...
You got good shit like this guy who won dick putting a cigarette out on a girl.
Yeah.
That was classy.
There were some good fights last year, but there wasn't sexual energy they have this year.
By and large, that After Dark show is an invitation to watch... uneducated adults sit around with like big plastic cups, you know, going, dude, this one time, this one broad. It's not entertaining television a lot of the time.
I mean, you got the DVR.
Yeah.
Did the DVR.
This has been the most rewarding season of Big Brother. Look, I hate myself when I watch Big Brother. I really do.
Yeah, but
this year they've given me the fucking goods.
Right.
I can't complain.
You can't complain.
With them just finally giving me what I want.
And
a lot of times at Big Brother, they play they're kid-ish. They're like, ooh, I'm not going to show anything.
Well,
like,
that was Eric and Jessica last year. And they became a couple, but they never really did anything in the house. They kind of flirted and they kissed each other
a couple times. These people accept money to go on television and be tramps and whores.
Oh, they're making
And then
out.
They get in the house and they all go, tee-hee-hee.
Not this year, man.
No, this year it's all out there.
There's a guy Matt on the show. And from day one, I hated this guy.
Sure.
He's a good-looking guy. He's got his Boston accent. He's kind of like this. He's a construction worker. He's all tattooed.
It's
he talks
sultry
about
sultry blue eyes.
Yeah, went out and I was out with these two chicks this one night, and I did this. And he's talking about all the steroids he did when he was working out and all this stuff. And he's a real tchotchke.
Sebastian.
And then I swear to God, this guy though, I'm really starting to learn from this guy. I'm really looking at this guy going, this guy is a Zen master of pussy.
Joel, are you learning to be 24 and 16?
You know what? That's one thing.
And built like a surfer? Is that what you're learning?
That's one thing I can't change.
Yeah.
But I can know that when I'm in a situation
like
that.
Well, I'll give this guy credit, though. There was a guy on last year's season that was just as attractive as he was. That guy, Nick.
Yeah.
But Nick was a real meathead.
Yeah, he really was.
And only one girl tried to put her hooks in Nick.
Yeah, they made out a little bit, yeah.
But boy, this guy is working every girl in the house.
Yeah, this guy's all over these chicks. And like the girl, Natalie, the stripper, who's his partner on the show, he doesn't even want to do. He's telling everybody.
Make people sleep in beds together.
Yeah, so they're sleeping in bed together, and she's feeling him up and down.
Sure.
We're pretty sure, according to a YouTube clip we saw, she blew him one night.
It's pretty
under
obvious.
The covers.
You see the glow worm going on under the covers.
But then, like, he denies it to everybody and says, I'm not into it. And in public, he treats you like she's like, I don't care. You know, you're not my type of girl. I need a more conservative girl. You're too wild for me.
Yeah.
And then, meanwhile, he takes this conservative Sharon. We're watching this.
Well,
after
he's very smooth.
Yeah.
He's continually rejecting Natty. One, because he knows that's going to only make her crazier.
Yeah.
Two, he's got a point. She's a complete slut.
Yeah, absolutely.
She's a freaking tramp face. She's a bikini barista, for God's sake.
And you love her.
She's a four-finger fucking special. She's like a bowling ball.
The Matt guy is then, so what he does is he gets this chick Sharon alone in a bedroom.
Yeah.
The HOH bedroom. They're laying there in bed together. She's telling him, you know, I'm not into any of the guys in this house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's like, I'm not into Natalie. She's not my type. You know, I don't like it.
Sure.
And then he just out of the blue jumps on top of her, starts making out with her. The two of them are hot and heavy for a good 5, 6, 7 minutes before the other head of household, the fag Joshua walks
in. The fag.
The gay guy who was the partner. And Maddie's
he stirs the drink socially. He's
the
big party.
He does. But this Matt guy says such a move. See, here's the thing with Matt. I know I don't look like Matt. So when I say I'm trying to learn from Matt, this is the only way I'm trying to even relate it, because it's comical to you that I would even think I could put myself in that position. But let me explain.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't look like Matt. I'm a couple, whatever number he is.
No.
On a scale of 1 to 10, I'm a couple numbers lower.
Yeah, we're both.
If he's a 9, I'm a 7.
And believe me,
I'm
not,
you know what I mean?
I'm like, not comparing myself. I'm a tub of goo.
Right. But I mean, let's say this guy's a 9 and he's, you know, these are 7s. You know, I'm a 7 or something, or I'm a 6. Okay. Well, whatever chicks he's trying to bang, whatever numbers they are, I'm trying to bang chicks the same numbers lower than the chicks on the show. So it all relates. It all equates. You know what I'm saying?
He's
trying to bang 8s.
You're putting a sliding scale?
I'm trying to bang 5s. And it works. It's the same thing.
Sharon's only probably a 7. So let's, you know what? That's not too bad.
So if I'm trying to nail, if I'm a 6 and he's a 9, that means I should be trying to bang 4s.
Yeah.
Wow. I don't even know if I know a 4.
No, you do.
Yeah, I do. You know, come to think
of it. I'm going to call her right now. I got her number.
You got a 4 in there?
Yeah.
You probably had a 3 in there.
Yeah.
Corey, I'll call the right number. We'll come back with 2 2s.
Yeah. Her name rhymes with that of a famous country music singer.
What?
You'll figure it out.
It rhymes with a country singer?
Just the first names. Anyway.
Look, we don't talk about Shmali, okay? We keep that quiet. I really don't even know. You have to tell me in the break. We're getting ready for break time. But Big Brother is tremendous. If you get Big Brother After Dark on Showtime and you have a DVR, do yourself a favor and record that. And just fast forward till you see something funny happening or you see people making out.
Believe me.
It's great. It really is tremendous.
A large portion. It's on 3 hours a night and a large
7 portion. 7 days a week.
Is unspeakable tedium.
Right.
But at least last year, all they did was play beer pong.
Right.
They played beer pong
this
every
year.
Night.
It's a lot of guys shooting pool on the off, you know, when they're not making out or drinking. But it's still the high points way outweigh the doldrums.
Last year, they had a lot of religious people who were all about the Bible.
Yeah,
none of that this year. In fact, the biggest downer in the house is, believe it or not, this woman who was the 1983 Penthouse Pet of the Year.
Yeah, that's sad.
She's the biggest downer in the house.
Who also dated Scott Baio.
Right.
By the way.
Like a professional whore.
Yeah.
A woman who
she's no fun.
Her
in this
claim
house.
To fame is spreading her beef.
Yeah.
She's the downer.
And it's funny, right after the first Big Brother, I went on the internet and got all kinds of naked clips of this woman. Her name's Sheila Kennedy. She's
all,
naked every second.
I think she just feels like she's 20 years older than all these
She
people.
Really is, yeah.
So she's embarrassed with these. You just whack yourself.
I'm gonna have a fat.
You gotta
lip
stop
down.
Moving that mic.
I know. I'm sorry. I don't have a boom mic like you do. I'm a straight stand. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You're always rocking the mic and
I know.
Whacking yourself in the tooth.
I rocked
myself
in the fucking lip.
What I'm saying about this show,
I'm all
is
excited by Big Brother.
You haven't seen Needier Whores in your life.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, the penthouse pet of the year is the biggest downer in the house.
Yeah, she's the most buttoned up.
Every other girl, it's, woo, ping pong balls out the cooch. Let's go. Woo. So anyway.
Yeah, it really is great. I love Big Brother this season. And one other thing I got to say, because I know a lot of people say that they don't watch reality show. This is an argument.
I don't watch reality television. I don't have a television. I only read Hermann Hesse books. Yeah. And I've read Mein Kampf 74 times.
We'll get to him. one thing that's great, though, if you want to make fun of reality shows, a lot of people hate them because of the heavy editing.
I read the science fiction books of Theodore Sturgeon.
And the story editors and the way that these things get twisted around and it's not really what happened. The good thing about Big Brother After Dark is that it is unedited. Yeah. It is live. You do get to watch
except when some girl takes her top off and the cameraman's got a shot of her back.
Yeah, that did happen.
Or they cut away from shit.
They did cut away.
Well, people
from
are in that. The hot tub making out.
They did do that a little
it's
bit.
Aggravating.
But generally, I'm a big fan of Big Brother 9. Good job with this one. Thank God for whores.
I will say that the biggest problem I always have with Big Brother is I'm into it for like the first couple weeks.
Yeah.
When the fewer people are in the house, the less interesting it becomes.
And that's going to happen again, but let's not curse that day. Let's enjoy it for what it is now. And because it really is great. Big Brother 9 is one of the greatest things I've ever seen.
Wow.
In the history of television.
After the break, let's talk about some of the not greatest things I've ever seen.
Well, we're going to talk about some movies. Although, if we have time, I want to talk about the SNL that was this
weekend. Well, I have an SNL. SNL star is in a film I'd like to discuss.
Okay, we'll talk about that.
So we can talk
about
that.
We have a couple of news items. Corey has one, and I have there's one show related.
There's a big show related and another one that's a little
somewhat tangentially related. Let's play more Vampire Weekend. We'll be back with more show right after this on the Corey and Joel Radio Show.
Drag my feet along the floor. Then I see you, you're walking across the campus. Cool professor studying romances. How am I supposed to pretend? Studying romances. How am I supposed to pretend? I never want to see you again. How am I supposed to pretend? I never want to see you again. The afternoon, you're out on the stone and grass.
Vampire Weekend there.
There they are.
On the Corey and Joel Radio Show. Thanks, guys.
I'm thinking them like they're anywhere. Thanks, guy. Good one.
Ah, yeah.
All
yeah,
right, Vampire Weekend. Thanks. Sounded great.
You know, I at least like Conan and Letterman appear to have known what the bands are. You know, like Conan will actually like Arcade Fire will play and he'll be excited.
Well, Conan's a musician. He plays the guitar. Letterman, I don't think Letterman's into the music that much. But there's always somebody he marks out for. There's always somebody like you know Letterman's a fan of because he goes on like Warren Zevon was one of those guys. Yeah. He's dead now.
He's an older guy.
But he, you know, he loved
Letterman's an older guy, so you know
he loved. I remember, and this was, I think maybe their second album, and I'm sure he loved the first one. But Hootie and the Blowfish, he made a big deal out of. They were he's like, this is the when I get in my car, this is what I listen to, Paul. Right here, this your CD.
Well, he seemed to like the White Stripes because he had them on a few times.
Did he? Well, I mean, I think sometimes he's like, hey guys, how you know? He's always gives. He's sort of you know. You know, he just kind of goes, yeah.
He'll get a boner when Elvis Costello's in there. But
he's a lot of Letterman is like, hey, thanks for killing 6 minutes, guys.
Sure.
You know what I mean? That was good. Less for us to write. Yeah. You know
when,
what I mean?
When Wolf Mother comes on, he's not exactly excited.
I mean, they do book a little bit of, you know, a hipper band on there than Leno does sometimes.
Conan knows what the bands are, though. That's
Conan will be into the music. So anyway, here's our big, let's get to our big show announcement. How's that sound?
Sure.
The big show announcement. I don't know how big this is, but this is. I think this is. This could add substantially to people's enjoyment of the show.
Mm.
They can feel like they're more part of the show if you wanted to be more part of the show.
Yeah.
I don't know who wants that, but some people might want to be
who
more.
Who doesn't want to be more part of the show?
Well, we have our forum. We have our mailing list. We have our email address, and those are all ways to contact us and feedback and ask questions and that kind of stuff. But we decided that we actually needed, you know, a way to. Really hear from the people. Actually hear from them.
Sure.
So we set up a little hotline, if you will.
Okay.
An actual phone number to leave.
We've finally done it. For years, people have been saying, why don't you get a phone? Well, this is not going to be Skype.
It's not a live phone.
We're not taking live calls, but we do want to hear from you.
Yeah, we want you to call in.
We get enough crap from you on the message board, but we thought it would be fun.
This is a way you call in, you call a number. I'll give you the number in a minute here. You call in, you leave a message, that's all it is. You can also send the fax. Why you'd want to send the fax, I have no fucking idea. But you call this number, you leave a message, it's a toll call, it's a U.S. number, it's not toll free. So, but if you have a cell phone, it's just your regular cell minute. It doesn't cost you 99 cents or anything. It's a free call, but it is a toll call. It's not free, but it's just whatever it would regularly cost you to call. So if you're Cam in Yellowknife, you got to call the States. Whatever that costs you to call,
sure.
That's how much it costs to leave us a message.
We'll get a prepaid phone card.
Yeah, something like that. But we just want you to know that we love you guys. We want to hear from you. We think that your voice needs to be part of the show.
And we want to make fun of your accents.
Well, that's
so
part of it.
So if you call it.
Okay. I could do my punchlines, or you can step on them too. But I was going to say we really love you guys, and so we set up the douchebag hotline. But you shoehorned your joke in, and that was okay. I saw. See, I'm mad now, but I really did have
like
a
like I knew.
Up.
Like
I know, but I was talking and you. You want to do it again? So we really love you guys, and we decided to set up something only for our greatest fans, the people we love the most, and we're calling it the Douchebag Hotline.
All right. There.
See, then the second time you're just like, I'm not going to sell it, although there was no point because people had already heard it.
We can edit this out.
Anyway. No. Well, actually, it's not called. Actually, that's one of the things I do want people to call in with. I thought it'd be funny to call it the Douchebag Hotline. It's sort of a backhanded compliment to our fans. You had some other names. What name did you come up with?
Dial-A-Douche. But,
see, Dial-A-Douche is good, too.
Now, here's...
I left a test message.
Here's Joel's inaugural
message. So this is what
message.
It'll sound like. I called the number. We set it up. This is what it sounds like when you call in.
Hey, yo. So I'm testing out the Douchebag Hotline here.
Yeah.
As I'm going to like to call it, the Douchebag Hotline. And hopefully someone will, you know, use this. Hopefully it sounds good when we get it in the email. If it doesn't, then fuck it. But, you know, it's worth a shot. Fuck it. You know, see what happens. Maybe we should test some of the show buzzwords. They're doing my Neo's impression. Yeah, I'm calling your hotline. I have an international call. I dial the country code and then the number.
That's so what it's going to be, too.
Neil's is actually Spanish now. So, anyhow, I hope it sounds good. Maybe Corey, you'll even listen to this and enjoy it.
Yeah, so if you want to call us and leave a message, I'll give you the number right now.
I left a message too, but we can't hear it at the moment.
So. We'll get to, but Corey also tried it out and he thought it worked well. So, call us, leave us anytime, 24 hours a day. You can call this very number that I'm about to give you, and you can get the Corey and Joel hotline. Okay, here we go. The number is, write this down. Have your pens and papers ready, because there's no possible way to rewind this. It is a live show. It's going out one time. We'll put it up at the bottom of the screen so you can follow along.
Yeah.
It's 610-552-0746. Once again, 610-552-0746. Call in. Leave us a voice message. Tell us what you want. And it's funny, you know, people are going to look that up and realize.
This works in all 50 U.S. states and the District of Columbia.
It works in Guam. It would work. That would be a U.S. state. Actually, it works anywhere. Anywhere you
Virgin
can call.
Virgin Islands.
610 number.
And Puerto Rico.
If you look it up, it's a number in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Samoa. But that's just because we signed up for a free service. So that's why it's not a Detroit number. But we haven't.
Ain't nothing wrong with Philly.
No, ain't nothing wrong with
Philly. Shout out to Philly and Lancaster.
It's not quite. It's on. It's Eastern PA. It's quite. Yeah. But anyway, so if you want to leave us a message, that's the number. I think what do we want immediately people to do? Just try it out. Just give it a call and see. Maybe leave a message. We'll play those next week. But we also want, we're going to tell you when we have guests coming up and you can leave us special questions.
Right.
We'll play your questions for the various guests. But I think we want, I think the initial feedback is, what do you think of the hotline? Is it a good idea? Will you use it? If you don't want to call it the douchebag hotline,
suggest something with
a funny name.
Yeah.
Because it's going to end up being the Niels hotline, because he's probably going to be the only fucker that calls.
Well,
but that's okay too.
You could call, we could call it Tram Talk.
Niels could call from the tram.
Yeah.
And Cam could call from the diamond mine.
Sure.
And Sean Stone could call from the Pentagon.
Yeah.
Imagine that we're now podcasting essentially from all over the world with all these people. And even you and I can call this. Say we're out one night and there's a famous comic in the room. We can do a little interview
now,
with him.
Now when Nigel Rosenblum gets incensed at something you say, he can call and leave
Nigel
a message.
Nigel can call and leave an angry message instead of if you want to yell about the death pool and why a guy who didn't count and we're going to pick him. This is the perfect outlet for
that.
The douchebag hotline. So call us.
If you want to call from the tram, you can call and play your music.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was going to make this the on-hold music, but I can't because...
Hey! Hey! Hey!
It's a catchy number.
This is the official Niels theme song. Right?
This is, absolutely. Niels. If you don't enjoy this one, Niels... I got 80 more of these fucking Nazi songs, so get ready.
Yeah. The man in black, Niels.
I feel like marching.
I
could invade something to this. If this was playing on a boombox, fuck yeah, I'm right there.
What do we call it? The Goose Step Party Line.
The Communist Party Line. There's a lot of different things. You know, a lot of creative names people might come up for it.
This song's kicking my ass.
All right, how about the Chubby Nerd Hotline?
That could work.
That could work, too. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of possibilities.
Dimensionsfars. Niels. The man in black.
So you now have a way to actually... Because I do want to hear some of our, like, our forum guys, like Joseph Zhu, who we don't even know what he sounds like. We have to get to Martin's accent.
Told in Martin's accent we're doing a different accent.
We're not doing the same accent that we do for
them. Is it Austrian? I think I decided that Martin sounds like this. Yeah. So call in and tell us. Give him the number again, Joel.
610-552-0746. Call us now. Call often. Call drunk.
Yeah, sure.
Put that in your speed dial, and when you're loaded, call the Corey and Joel hotline.
Absolutely.
Remember, we used to have a landline at a house you used to live in.
Yes.
Back in the dark old days before cell phones.
Sure.
Or before we had them, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And you had a landline that I drunk dialed a couple times. Remember those?
You weren't the only one. That phone got a lot of late night drunk dialing. It was like four guys living in
that house. Yeah, it was four guys living in that house, and would call that number. So call the Corey and Joel hotline. 610-552-0746. We're not on there. You're not going to hear our voices when you call it. There's no recorded message.
No.
It just goes straight to the generic operator lady. We don't know who that is. We've never gotten her naked in the hot tub. We don't know who that lady is. It's just part of the service.
Maybe if we get a budget, we can add our own person.
Yes. So. They want they're looking for it's actually a nickel for 6 months. So I decided to stay with the free service.
Oh, okay.
No, I don't know what it costs. It's some fee. But
if you donate to the lunch fund, maybe we would actually get customize the hotline.
Then we could do special podcasts right on the hotline, Corey. We could do things like Dirkoff Phone Companion right on the phone.
Wow.
And then people could get access 24 hours a day to our nerddom.
I feel excited about this. I really do. We're finally getting up with current technology.
People have had these since 2005.
We were going to get a message service.
Worry? What was that going to be? What do you
say? Well, that's where, you know, the call and a lady writes down the notes.
No, we weren't going to get that. Okay.
I just love, like, movies in the 70s. Right?
Yeah.
I got to call my service.
Okay, yeah, it was always like a lot of Woody Allen movies you see that in.
Yeah.
I got to call my service.
And then some lady's like, yes. Can you imagine having to write, like imagine if some girl calls you up and like, I need you inside me. Imagine the girl is just typing that out. You know, uh-huh. Moan. Fill me with your man stick. Thank you, sir.
There's a book that I bought when it first started stand-up comedy. It was called How to Be a Stand-Up or Working Stand-Up Comedian or something. And that was his advice to people, that you get a service. Because if somebody wants to call you for a comedy gig, it sounds like you have a secretary.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, like,
there actually services
available? Oh, yeah, they're still around. You can see them in the paper. A lot of, like, doctors and stuff will use them. You know what I mean?
So really?
With that personal touch, yeah, I think so. But
so
voicemail
and a goddamn
they still have voicemail, but it's like if you had money to burn and you didn't want a voicemail, you would get one of these answering services. But you know what I mean? But imagine like this.
Well, I remember like Rockford had an answering machine and it was like cool.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, wow, he's got an answering machine.
But imagine like the calls your service would have to answer on, you know, if you're a comedian. Like, yes, Mr. Fragamenti, would you like to perform at the Holiday Inn in Alma, Michigan for $75 on Saturday night with no hotel? Yes, he'd like a return on that call. Oh, thank you very much. You know what I mean? It's like, what kind of calls would you be getting on
We
that?
Need you to go to Fond du Lac, Wisconsin for $9, and we need you to be there by 7 o'clock tonight. It's 2:30. And there's only one hotel room, and you're going to have to stay with the headliner.
Ooh.
And,
that's interesting. Yeah. But I literally got calls like I can't imagine.
And the MC. The headliner and the MC and you. You're going to it's not really a bed. It's a cot. Yeah. And there's a folding chair.
I got a call once. Do I want to go to a bar mitzvah and heckle at the buffet?
Yeah.
That was going to be my comedy gig.
You did that one too, didn't
No,
you?
I didn't do it. I tried to do it and it was going to be in Cleveland. They wanted me to drive to Cleveland, Ohio. Go to a bar mitzvah and heckle the people getting their food at the buffet.
Did you go to a wedding and heckle the guy?
No, I never did that. That was the gig that I was going to do.
Oh.
And I did a retirement party.
Okay.
Which wasn't really all that bad. I really just did a regular set. They had a DJ, and I grabbed a mic and did a half hour and got the fuck out of there.
Mm-hmm.
But no, they wanted me to heckle at a buffet where I'd stand up, and while grandma was going to get some fruit salad, I would sit there and call her an old Jew bag. And they were
well,
gonna pay
I mean,
me,
what's wrong with that?
They were going to pay me hundreds of dollars for that.
Considering you would have done that for free.
Instead, I got a podcast.
Yeah. Well, you can call grandma old Jew bag all you want.
Yeah, what a stupid gig. Like, see, to me, it's like I don't even blame the comic in a situation like that. I blame who's hiring a guy to heckle the buffet. Like, what an asshole that guy is.
I know. I mean, and I played gigs where, like, you play, like, a country club.
Yeah.
And you got to play somebody's party. It's like, it's Dave's 50th birthday.
Oh, yeah,
and, like, but then, like, they want to go up and do their own act.
Right. Oh, they play side before. Hey, let me tell you about this.
Right.
Let me tell you about this. We're in college sophomore year.
you gotta mention that. You got to tell that story about the one time Dave was in the bathroom with the zebra. Tell that.
We threw combos in the beer bong. You should have seen when those hit his throat. You know, it's all shit you don't know about. Hey, when you go up there, hey, can you scream out ninny, ninny, ninny? You don't get it, but everyone's going to crack up.
I don't think you should yell that.
When you scream out ninny, ninny, ninny.
Oh.
Everyone's going to crack
ninny,
up.
Ninny, ninny, ninny.
Yeah,
I thought you said something altogether different.
What are you talking about? Wow. You're insane. But they always ask you to do weird shit that you don't know what it is at these private parties. It's like, fuck you. You go do it.
I remember Sal and I did a country club gig one time where it was us and a magician and like, and then like the guys who were hosting the party like went up and did Sonny and Cher like before us. And I'm like, I got to come out after they just did Sonny and Cher.
So wait a minute. The magician's the opener.
Yeah.
Sonny and Cher is the middle act and you're the headliner with Sal.
And I'm like hanging out in the back with like the fucking magician's bag full of doves moving. I'm like, oh God, this gig can't end up.
What do you and Sal go out and do Sinatra and Dean Martin after that?
Yeah, I'm like, what do we do? Yeah, I'm like, let me go. What do you do? So I hate these goddamn Republicans. I'm like, what am I going to do with this country club?
Yeah.
I know. These gigs are insane.
Right.
Heckling an old lady is bad.
Yeah, they want me to go and heckle at the buffet. Yeah. I'm like, what the fuck?
This is Sister Mary Teresa's last year here at the school. She's moving to another monastery. Can you come and just call her a bitch? Just talk about how she used to beat people's knuckles. She's moving on to another parent.
People have weird uses for comedy that really don't apply. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because
I don't want to make fun of your douchey friend.
I mean, comedy, it needs to be in the right context in order for it to work. And yeah, I may
People love roasts.
Right.
They love roasts.
Yeah.
Roasts don't work if you don't know the people.
Right, right. Well, hence our Corey and Joel
roast. Disastrous roast.
Yeah. Speaking of that, you know what else people can leave on the douchebag hotline? I just thought of this. It is actually the month of our third-year anniversary.
Yeah.
And we really don't have anything planned. So if you have anything planned, maybe here's what we'll do. We'll do a retrospective.
Okay.
We could do that. That's a possibility. Leave that. And then maybe later we'll ask people to call in, and they can give their favorite moments of the show, and we could play back those.
That would be wonderful.
That would be a good thing, too, for people to do. So anyway, the douchebag hotline is open. Or if you got a better name.
Tell your favorite Corey and Joel story, like how you got fired from your job for listening to a couple of reprobates say the N-word. On a podcast.
Yeah, I was on the tram, and the earbud fell out of my ear because there was a buildup of wax because I have not been to a physician since the Berlin Wall fell.
Well, I was on the tram, and I actually laughed one time, and the police looked at me and said, "There is no laughing on the tram!" And I was clubbed over the head and taken away. And then... And then they attached electrodes to my nipples and pumped 44 kilograms with lots of electricity into my testicles. Would you like some more gummy batter?
You love this. You're loving this song.
I do.
All right. So what else? What's going on in movies? What should we know about?
I was
going to review SNL, but you take the movies.
Well,
let me
give
you
a quick other announcement.
Oh, what's the other announcement?
And then we'll move on.
I think you announced this sort of.
Did I announce this?
But go ahead. Right. It's fine.
The official start date is now been.
He has an official start date. Go ahead.
This is unfortunately only applies to people in the Detroit metro area.
That's true.
As far as, you know, Ann Arbor, Ypsilanti, Flint. Yeah. But Wolfman Max Nightmare Cinema will be seen on Channel 20, My Network TV.
Yes.
In Detroit.
Yes.
Starting March 14th.
March
Friday nights.
You can see Wolfman Mac live on your TV.
A 90-minute hilarious
on
block.
On Channel 20 here in Detroit.
Schlocky shtick.
And
I'm doing a little writing for Max,
okay,
so trying to punch the jokes up.
So when it sucks, you can blame Corey.
Yeah.
If it sucked, no.
Now, I didn't have anything to do with the first three episodes.
The first three you didn't do.
Because they're in the can. He's recycling stuff.
The best of Wolfman Mac. You get those first. And then...
Well, he'd done a certain amount on public access and decided some of it was usable.
Yeah, okay.
So anyway.
So then,
It's exciting because there hasn't not been a local show like that in Detroit in a long time.
All right.
So
watch that on Channel 20.
Hopefully,
in
we'll get the website up and running better.
Okay.
So you can see clips.
Yeah. And Channel 20 is a great channel, and I'm not making this up. They also. Mm. I watched the 20-year-old Magic special in primetime on there the other night. So
yeah.
It's really needs some programming.
Oh, I saw the Harlem Globetrotters were on last week. It was terrific. It was Matt Vasgersian and Arsenio Hall calling
the Actually, they My Network TV is now going to be the home to WWE SmackDown.
Oh, okay.
So they're upping their programming. Then I've got Wolfman Mac and SmackDown. So
oh, good.
No more
magic
specials for them.
Well, like there was an infomercial running in that time slot before, and the station was like, you know, you could do better than the infomercial.
All right. Well, good for him. Good for Mac.
Cheaters is going to be the lead in.
Well, go get him. Mac. All right.
You know, the high quality stuff.
Sure.
But it's fun.
All right.
Be
so
fun
Wolfman Mac is coming on next week or in 2 weeks.
March 14th. Yeah, check that out.
So check that out on your dial if you're in the Detroit area.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't like it, you can call the douchebag hotline.
Absolutely.
We'll forward those right to Mac.
Sure, complain about it. Or, you speaking of stuff you don't like, Saturday Night Live.
The other thing about the douchebag hotline that I just quickly is that they do come where we can record them and play them on the show. It's easy for us to do that. Don't sweat yourself that. we got to like stick our cell phones up against the mic or something. It's all modernized and it all comes through the goodness of the World Wide Web. Anyway, SNL, you want to do SNL? You want to do what time we got here? We got 20 minutes.
Wow.
Do we got time for movies?
Well, yeah,
on
well,
SNL?
Let's talk about SNL and go into movie reviews.
SNL, I decided to watch because I know as much as I hated Juno and you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. Ellen Page was the host of SNL, and I said, you know, it was right after the Oscars.
Yeah.
Maybe she's got some chops, and maybe she'll be good in this. You know, she was an Oscar-nominated actress, and, you know, maybe I sold her short. I went and watched SNL the other night, and maybe the worst 90 minutes of TV I think I've ever seen. I mean, there was a couple things I laughed at, and I'm going to give you these.
Okay.
I'm going to run down the three funny bits on SNL.
Now, I am not a habitual SNL watcher, but Amy likes it.
Okay.
So I will sometimes see it.
Okay. And you watched it as well?
Well, yeah, we DVR'd it.
Okay, so let me give you my highlights, and then you can give your thoughts and opinions, okay? Mm-hmm. The first funny bit was as Ellen Page is doing her monologue, Andy Samberg comes out dressed as Diablo Cody
that
in the
was
whole
good.
Oscar dress. And they really took the piss out of all of her, you know, kitsch dialogue
yes.
from Juno.
Yeah.
And, you know, she, and the faux Diablo Cody was like, yeah. how come you didn't write the speech that I gave? And it had all these blog references.
And she was like, it's Coolio Iglesias.
Yeah, and yeah. all these stupid shit. Which I guess is a way of just saying, hey, Diablo Cody, you write a bunch of crap. And, you know,
well,
in a sense, it's sort of
when
saying,
you give a former stripper an Oscar, yeah. you're always in good standing.
Yeah, and he even said that at the end. He's like, I used to be a stripper.
Yeah.
Which was funny.
Yeah.
So I like that they referenced that. I think they got that out of the way. I like that they kind of they took a shot at Juno, and it deserves more than that of a shot. They, you know.
I know you hate Juno.
It deserves to be bundled up on a satellite and shot to the moon and never seen again. But you know, anyway. Actually, I didn't even.
You went from disliking Juno to like hating Juno.
No, I hated the acclaim that it got because it wasn't that good.
Yeah,
it was just here's calling back an old movie, but. In Woody Allen's Manhattan, they did the Academy of the Overrated. And yeah. if you did the 2008 version of that, Juno's got to be the top film in that. So,
I enjoyed it.
Right.
I didn't think it should win Best Picture, but, you know.
Right. But I enjoyed that swipe at Diablo Cody. Enough about Juno. They go on. Second funny bit was TV Funhouse, which is really not a surprise because TV Funhouse is...
That was kind of long.
It was long, but the premise was funny. The premise was Barack...
It didn't really do well with the audience either.
Barack Obama... has to get rid of Jesse Jackson
yes.
and Al Sharpton because they're fucking his shit up on the campaign.
Right.
They're all invoking right. black stuff, and Barack's trying to be all cool and doesn't want these brothers right. hanging around.
He was sending Jesse Jackson yeah. to like find Southern Swambobia.
Yeah, so it was pretty funny. I mean, it wasn't the greatest TV Funhouse, but you know, we're in a barren fucking desert of laughs on this show, and TV Funhouse works for me. Robert Smigel's
well,
a funny guy.
I thought they put some of the weaker sketches up front.
And then the only other thing that I laughed at on the whole show, or even smirked at in any way, was they did, and this is inside even. I don't even know if anyone laughed at this, but you and I certainly got this. When they did the Fred Armisen on Weekend Update. Was
yeah,
like
yeah.
The hip, I forget what they called him, but he was like the hip political comedian, like a New York
yeah.
comic.
And he
who was in like an army fatigue jacket.
Right.
He's like, dude, I'm just going to do, man, I'm just going to read headlines right out of the paper. And then I'm going to give you my warped take on these. And it was all like, can you believe the Pentagon is moving troops? You know,
it was
like, who can believe that, man? And it was so lame.
He was just staggering. And see, the thing is,
yeah.
and then, I'm going to be.
It was just like.
It's like chickens falling out of the sky.
And there's a guy that I know. There's a guy, I swear to God, in Detroit that does that at open mic.
Yeah.
And I swear to God, you would have thought he was doing him.
No,
I swear. Do you know the guy I'm talking about?
Yes.
You know the guy I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do it that way. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, he's doing that. And like, if I was that guy sitting at home, I'm like, wow, what a douche that guy would have been, man.
Now that was a good bit.
Yeah. And that was pretty funny. And even though I don't know that a lot of people got that, you do see young comics trying to be like, you know, I'm going to be irreverent and political. And then they bring nothing to the table. They don't prepare.
Right.
They really have no punchlines.
Well,
it's completely fucking lame. And he did a great job pairing.
Oh,
that.
Well, you know, they could be the angry loner. What was the other guy?
Who was the other guy?
Remember the guy gave himself a name like the Interrogator?
Oh, the Informant.
The Informant.
We had a guy named the Informant.
Yeah, we've always had like these shadowy conspiracy
That's
guys.
The guy that I'm referring to.
Yeah. That's why I did this.
He even looked like him. Oh,
yeah.
See, I wasn't even sure. Okay.
Sure.
We're sending signals
I
here.
Did a limp hand gesture.
Notice we got balls. We won't even say this guy's name.
I know. Well, whatever.
He's kind of a friend of the show.
And in his defense, he's funnier than the Fred Armisen character.
He was funnier than the Fred Armisen thing, but the Fred Armisen was like, there must be 100 guys like that in New York that do the exact same thing that this guy does in the show.
Sure. So, yeah. The informant. Anyway,
the informant was
Paul the Angry Loner. There'd always be these guys who'd be like Paul the Angry Loner had like the whole black trench coat and combat boots and like, Waco, man. It's all about Waco.
Who was the other guy? Not Paul the Angry Loner. The guy that was, I forget the guy's name. He would wear black shit under his eyes.
Oh.
What was his name?
I wish I could remember.
He had a couple different names he went by.
Yeah.
But he was like that, too.
There's either, like, real conceptual guys who do these real crazy, like, stunty prop kind of things.
Yeah.
Or they're guys who are going to, they're going to clear it up for you. I'm going to explain to you what the black helicopters are all about. See, it's all about Whitewater and Waco and George W. Bush and Armesto. Yeah. Like, there's always a guy that's like, it's like, just be funny, fuckhead. Just do political material. I don't care as long as it's got a punchline.
Yeah, but these guys
would go up and just like, you know, filibuster about, you know, how they're putting
this was in the paper today. Yeah. And you know, the thing about that is this.
Now, and Dick Cheney, the thing about him. It's awful.
The other thing that wasn't funny to me, but they did this whole thing, and we talked about it last week on the show. He hinted at it, at least, was the final sketch of the show was Ellen Page goes to a Melissa Etheridge concert. She's telling her boyfriend about it afterwards.
Yeah.
And she's converted into being a lesbian because there was all these lesbians in there.
Really? I don't know if I saw that bit.
You didn't see that bit? It was the last sketch of the show. It was the last sketch of the show.
See, I kind of liked the Peter Pan bit.
Okay, yeah, I saw that.
The bit was that none of the pirates could attack Peter Pan because they were so charmed by him.
Yeah, she was Peter Pan.
She'd come down and sing a song. I thought that was kind of funny.
It was okay. Yeah, it was all right. But I didn't really laugh at it. I was just kind of like, okay, you know.
Yeah, I got a smile out of it.
But no, the last bit, it was her and Andy Samberg. He's playing Xbox in their apartment. Mm-hmm. They have this crappy apartment. She comes on with a Melissa Etheridge t-shirt on, and she was like, oh, dude, Melissa Etheridge was the greatest concert ever. Oh, my God, you should have seen it was all women, and they were powerful women, and it was amazing. They were all in tank tops and ponytails and all these lesbian cliches. And like, you won't believe who came out. Oh, my God, the Indigo Girls came out, and they played Closer to Fine in the encore with Melissa. And then her girlfriend came out, and they gave a speech about breast cancer, and they brought their kids up on stage with David Crosby. And they did all these like lesbian things, and she was like, all into being a lesbian after going to the Melissa Etheridge concert. And, of course, you know, that's been in the blogs and everywhere.
You may secretly
be a lesbian.
Your precious journalistic resources.
No, by the way, that has also recently been picked up in Oscar Week. Michael Musto ran that in his column. It was also picked up by Defamer.
He's got a Fagenda.
It was picked up by Defamer.
Yeah.
And
she did nothing, by the way, to...
And her flack, her agent...
Yeah.
Is the one that was with her at the award ceremony, the Oscars, and she issued a denial that Ellen is not a lesbian. So, throw it out there doing damage control.
She's 20, you know.
Whatever. I'm just saying.
Yeah,
I'm saying. It was odd that they did the SNL. The SNL sketch wasn't funny, but it was kind of odd that she did this lesbian sketch.
She did nothing to feminize herself on the show.
No, she looked like a boy for the whole time.
She played Peter Pan for God's
sake. Did play Peter Pan, which is actually a cute look for a girl, believe it or not. I don't know. Maybe I'm a fucking weirdo freak, but I always enjoyed Sandy Duncan and her cross eyes and the Peter Pan outfit flying by a wire. I was down with that. And Ellen Page looked cute in her little outfit.
Joel is someone who...
No, come on.
I think was deeply hurt early on in his life.
I was not hurt early.
I never recovered.
I fully recovered from the hurt I went through. But I was like a girl dressed as Peter Pan, you know. It was cute.
Yeah.
And that was the best outfit she wore all night, I thought.
Yeah.
So Ellen Page was kind of a flop.
You know what kind of pissed me off? Last week they did the debate, and everybody got excited. They thought that sketch was good.
Yeah.
The premise of that sketch was the press was all in the tank for Obama.
Okay.
And they were like asking him questions like, are you comfortable? Can I get you a pillow? Is there something I can get you? Which was kind of funny.
Yeah.
And they had Fred Armisen playing Obama, which was everybody was upset about, but... This week, they were like, that sketch was such a hit. Let's do it again. And it wasn't funny.
They didn't. And then they had to bring out the real Hillary
Clinton.
And then
Hillary came out, and that's a comedy killer.
Yeah. And then she had to yuck it up with Amy Poehler as Hillary.
Right. And then Giuliani came out during the news.
Which I didn't even know what he was doing out there.
And it was terrible.
It was really weird. Yeah. And it was not good.
Debbie Schlussel liked it, though. She
of course.
Giuliani was. And then I had to tell her how happy I was that Giuliani lost.
Good. Hey, make sure not to give her the number of the douchebag hotline. No, can you get it from Debbie?
Because we don't want to break the internet. with her voice. A subsonic.
You almost
squeal.
Broke this water out of my glass all over my microphone. Holy shit. The
it was
sound
like, Rudy was so funny. I'm like, no, he was not funny. He was fucking horrible. You just dropped it. Ah, you
damn shit.
Barack Obama is a Nation of Islam Muslim, and he wants to eat Jew babies. That's Debbie Slussell told me that today, and I had to tell her to shove it. Yeah, Rudy Giuliani, he came out and made no mention of the fact that he dressed up in drag on the show on Saturday Night Live, to which I'm screaming at the TV, you dressed up in drag like 15 times. Like, that was Rudy's favorite thing, is to put on drag.
Yeah, you think that maybe there's something to that.
Yeah,
you know
I know.
I mean? Like,
it was,
you know,
it's not like one time at a party,
right,
remember,
right,
I put
right,
a dress
right,
on.
Right.
It was like he every year, he dress up as Marilyn Monroe and do
well,
some
you know,
shit.
There was a rumor about, I've always read this in blind items, and I don't know who this is attributed to exactly.
Yeah.
But people, I'll tell you who they attribute it to, and I don't. There's no way to, you know, even believe it. But they say that there's an A-list top five male Hollywood star who's a cross-dresser.
Okay.
Top five, and this they've been saying this for years.
And that would be Daniel Day-Lewis.
No. They
those
say,
fucking earrings.
Well,
he
he's not. He's not a top five. I'm talking top five box office, top five
sure.
Oscars, top five male star. Yeah. So you're looking at Clooney, Tom Cruise, Brad Pitt.
We've all heard the Tom Cruise.
You know those things, but. The guy that they pin it on, at least that I've seen it attributed to, and I don't even give a shit, but they attribute it to Tom Hanks. And a lot of people say that. A lot of people say,
yeah.
I don't even buy this. Let me finish this thought, and then you go ahead.
Yeah.
They attribute it to the fact that he did Bosom Buddies.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
And he dressed up as a girl on Bosom Buddies right. for all those years. Yeah. So that's all.
He and Scolari.
I don't know. I don't know anything about that,
he
but it's just
Peter
funny
Scolari.
that you know. But it's the same thing. You get tagged with that. Like Rudy does, you get, you know,
well, it's just,
and
it's,
you're a big fag.
But this is how fucking rumors start, because I was watching a 60 Minutes. It is so true. It is like telephone. You tell people something, and they go, oh. And they
okay.
Because they were doing it, a spot on Chillicothe, Ohio.
Okay, I've been to Chillicothe.
Where you've done a comedy gig.
I did, and they played some awful music.
And I've played many shitty little towns in Ohio
yeah.
that are similar to it.
Okay.
And I haven't been, I never did Chillicothe, but
yeah.
believe me, I've been to Lima and Findlay. It's
yeah.
the same thing. And the guy's like, I think I'm going to vote for Obama, but there's a couple things I heard, and one is he won't do the Pledge of Allegiance, and he is a Muslim terrorist.
Yeah,
like, it was like
stuff that's not true at all. Yeah,
yeah, like he's not a Muslim, but these guys will buy it. Guys, dummies
right.
in Youngstown, Ohio, will buy this, and it's true. The same thing, but Rudy. Wearing a fucking dress 15 times.
Yeah, well,
there's no just. You know, infer what you will from that. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I mean, look, you know, if
it's
you
a pattern.
If you really hated to be in a dress and you were the governor, the mayor of New
right.
York City and a powerful person in the country, you wouldn't really have to get in a dress.
There's
no gun to your head to get. Like, no. You were right. Let's say they had a gig for us or an acting role or something. Or we got this commercial, Joel, and it's going to pay $1,000. We just need you to get in a dress.
Yeah, you've got to be.
Me, where's the goddamn dress?
You got to be
you know
Princess Diana.
You would understand that, though, because I need the money and I need the exposure of being in a
I did sing along Sound of Music for the money.
You wore Lederhosen for, you know, a certain amount of money. So, you know, there's things that you'll do in that situation. But for him, he's got no excuse to be dressing up as a woman.
And it's not like it's once.
Yeah.
It's that he did it all.
Well, you don't think Milton Berle and that, and you know, maybe there's something
right.
to that. You know,
but
he was always
he
a woman.
Thought he was funny, and,
right.
and let me tell you what, Rudy.
Funny, funny, funny comedy.
That's not what you were doing.
Well, he wasn't, so. Anyway, that's the SNL review. Of course, this year, I think I talked about it briefly, but Amy Adams is going to be on there, so I'm going to have to watch the goddamn awful show again.
Yeah. Speaking of Amy Adams, I saw her today.
Occasionally, and just quickly, I'll let you go. But occasionally, the thing about SNL, and Ellen Page didn't do this, and I was hoping for it, is they'll dress girls up as Wonder Woman or some sleazy
they'll
outfit.
They'll put them in a fun costume.
They'll put them in an outfit that you would normally never. Like Lindsay Lohan went on as Anne Margaret one time, and
sure.
I was like, okay, that's working for me. Her titties were out, and it was good.
So. Well, Lindsay Lohan, my God.
Yeah.
I remember they did a sketch
on SNL, I'm saying,
with Claire Danes as Tinkerbell that I enjoyed.
Okay, see, there you go.
She was a drunken Tinkerbell.
Same thing. And I've enjoyed the Kirsten Dunst appearances for the same reason.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll watch
those. We'll see. If you would like to see Amy Adams' ass,
don't
go see it in the theater, but wait till Mr. Skin posts the clip.
Yeah.
Of, let me see if I can even remember the name of the movie.
Yeah.
It was like Miss Pettigrew Lives for a Day.
Miss Pettigrew lives the day, is that?
Lives for the day.
Lives for the day.
No one would ever...
The worst title.
None of our audience will ever watch this film.
Yes.
Don't let your wife or your girlfriend drag you to it. It's not horrible for what it is.
Yes.
But it's something you don't need to see. I needed to see it because someone said, would you like to eat this week? And here's what you have to do to do that.
Well, that's right. It's the same thing with the yeah. You have to review this. You see it yeah. for your job, and that's
And I can see having only can I can only appreciate it as a film critic who's watched 50 million movies. I wouldn't want to.
All right, give us some quick reviews here. We got 5 minutes.
But
go.
Amy Adams, you do see her butt. She gets out.
Is
of
it
the,
naked
the,
butt? Naked butt?
Yeah,
naked
she gets
butt.
Out of the, she
okay.
gets out of the tub with like a towel.
Is it good?
Yeah, it's pretty
possible
good.
Body double.
She kind of like
it really
no
is?
No. She's like
it's really it.
She's got like a towel in front of her.
Okay,
so you can see like her side, little side boob. She's like. Do I look good? And then yeah, she okay. turns around.
I like Amy Adams, and she should have been Pam on The Office. And I know that might be disrespectful to the Jenna
well, she
Fisher
was,
thing.
She was on The Office.
She was, but you got the feel. I don't know this for sure, but it got the feeling that she got that role because you know there is a resemblance.
She was a runner-up.
She was probably a runner-up well, or somebody who could have been possibly Pam.
Now, you know my dream.
What's that?
She and Isla Fisher in a Jell-O wrestling
there you go.
To see who's which one is which.
Now, Jenna Fisher, does she get involved in that? Is
well, she could.
Going to be a three-way dance.
Isla Fisher and Amy Adams are like the same girl.
They kind of are, yeah. But I don't know. I like Amy Adams. She's cute. So
she is.
I like
her. Anyway, don't go see Miss Pettigrew Lives for the Day. But
don't
anyway,
see that. Okay.
It's
thumbs down.
It's just ridiculous.
One fat
it's like
thumbs
a,
down.
It's a 30s kind of comedy. It's a screwball and wacky. Anyway. And then a movie you will never see under any circumstances either. I demand that you don't see Funny Games.
Okay, quickly give us a summary.
Naomi Watts is in her underwear, and that's still not enough.
We've seen Naomi Watts naked all right. kind of ways at this point.
It's
so.
Naomi Watts and Tim Roth are the kind of people that they make fun of in Vampire Weekend who live, you know, have like a Cape Cod beach house.
Yeah.
And they go up there for the weekend, and these two fucking prep school, trust fund, baby, tennis white fags like torture them.
Well, you know what? It's funny.
And I'm like, these two guys weigh 90, and I, yeah. like, I literally look and go, Naomi Watts could kick their ass. It's this kid, Michael Pitt.
I don't know.
He's an actor. And it's just like, it's so annoying. And then it's like, they're torturing these people. And then they'll look to the camera and go, well, you want to be entertained, don't you?
Yeah.
Like, I if I ever do a junket where I find that director, I'm going to fucking have a word with him.
Is it somebody we know or is it some first time guy?
I have to look.
But you know, it's funny. Let me just hit you with this. And do you have memories of this? Isn't that kind of a genre picture at this point where like somebody's held hostage and
yeah
it's, like it's been never didn't Dennis Leary hold Elizabeth Hurley wasn't that hostage or wasn't this something like that or wasn't the ref wasn't that him with Cher or something what am I thinking of am I going down the right path here am I
yeah well I mean it's part of
they've
the
done
larger
a lot of
torture
like,
porn genre
but there's you know there was Misery was kind of like that I know that was a movie people liked but it seems like these movies come out and they're almost all bad.
Yeah,
I mean, the only thing I can think of that was good like that was, I mean, Misery, and it was a subplot of it, but I think it's a comedy classic. I really do, actually, is 9 to 5 had that a little bit. But, I mean, it's not the same thing,
well,
but it's
no,
it's
there's
not,
stuff like The Ref.
Yeah, The Ref, and wasn't there like Boxing Helena was
yeah,
like that? Yeah.
Which, this movie's really more in the hostile kind of
is it really?
Game,
it's more
like
violent. And
exploitive.
Fuck that. Okay, enough of that movie.
Ugh.
It's a shame. Naomi Watts should be in good movies.
Stop making these goddamn yeah. movies. And if you want to watch Naomi Watts cry and snot for like nah. 90 minutes, you know, punch her. I don't know. But
you know, actually, if I want to see Naomi Watts cry and snot, I'll fuck her.
Yeah.
But you know, folks.
Hi-yo!
And that's why you tuned in this week. Thank you.
Thank
there it
you.
Is. I know you waited 77 minutes for it, but oh, come on!
Funny,
come on.
funny comedy.
I'll give it to
all right,
you.
Three
I'll
minutes, quickly. Go.
Another movie you should never see under any circumstances. Semi-pro.
Okay, Will
featuring
Ferrell.
Former Saturday Night Live jackass, Will Ferrell.
Okay.
Now, I have liked Will Ferrell somewhat in the past.
Okay.
I hated his fucking guts, and then I caved and I liked Anchorman.
Yeah.
And I kind of liked Elf.
All right.
But boy, he's got to stop.
Yeah.
He's making the same goddamn
well,
movie over
I watched
over
the Ebert and Roper review where they basically said they just took all of the 70s shtick from Anchorman
right.
and threw it into Talladega Nights and tried to make a movie out of it.
That's exactly what they did.
Yeah, they merged two of his like former movies and tried to make...
Yeah, and can they just take Ebert's name off that, by the way?
Yeah, I don't know. Ebert should take his fucking name off it. He took the thumbs up out of
yeah.
it. He took the two thumbs. He stuck them up his fucking ass.
Right.
Or he stuck one in the hole
just
in his
call
throat.
Call it at the
or
movies.
Or something he did. Yeah, just call it, you know.
just at the movies with Roper and Douchebag of the Week. I like Michael Phillips. He should just keep him.
I want Ebert to come back with the voice box and do
it. I didn't enjoy funny games.
The show would have to be 95 minutes if Roger Ebert was the co-host because he wouldn't get through. All right, we got to wrap up. Thank you for those reviews, Corey. Don't forget, the Douchebag Hotline is live. It's in effect. If you want to call us, let me give you the number one more time as we're going out here. It is, I can't even fucking find the number. It was on this piece of paper that I so, all right.
It's good.
All right, I can't even know.
I'll just play Neil's theme song.
And that's the way it should be, Corey.
That should be the whole music.
There's our theme music. 610-552-0746.
Schnell!
Call in. We're out of here. Thanks for listening to the Corey and Joel Radio Show. Here's more Vampire Weekend for you. Live it, love it. Good night. It's Corey and Joel.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Tschüss.